The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Chernyshov got knocked off the puck. Could be a chance. Roslovic, a drop for McDavid moving in front. It's deflected off the D and it's in. That went off of Orloff right in front of a net and it sneaks through the wickets. And guess who's going to get credit for it? That's right, number 97, Connor McDavid, his fifth point of the night. It'll be 5-2 Edmonton.
I mean, that's a team that just went back-to-back to the Stanley Cup final. I mean, that's no excuse. They're missing a couple of their top guys. And, I mean, we have to be better. We didn't shoot the puck enough. I took a bad penalty there, and they scored on it. And, I think we just... We need to be better. We need to kind of come out a little hotter. We need to shoot pucks. We passed up a lot of really good chances, and we got to play hard on their top guys. Like, we can't let them kind of just dance around.
Okay. All right. I know. Before we go any further, let's just look at the standings. Right now, the San Jose Sharks sit at 81 points, 2 points back of third place LA, 3 points back of second place Nashville, and 7 points back of first place, again, with the wild card, Utah. They sit at 88 points. San Jose is 6 points back of Anaheim with one game in hand. They are 7 points back of Vegas with one game in hand. And they are, after the loss to Edmonton tonight, 9 points back of Edmonton with two games in hand. But it does not bode well for San Jose in terms of tracking down the Edmontonians, as San Jose would have to win their remaining five games and Edmonton would have to lose the remainder of their four games. But as we all know, anything is possible, and the San Jose Sharks are still very much alive in this playoff race, even if last night's game was very much a writing on the wall type situation, because it showed that they are just not anywhere near where Edmonton is right now. Edmonton knows how to show up for the big games. Edmonton knows how to dial upon their experience, upon their talent, upon their readiness. They have the pedigrees. They have been in 13 out of 14 possible Stanley Cup games in the last 2 years. Stanley Cup final, I should qualify that. But they have been, you know, as close as possible without winning a Stanley Cup these last 2 years, pretty much as you can get. They have experience. They have the best player in the world in Connor McDavid, and I could make a pretty good argument about why he's the best player ever, but the Sharks are not there yet. It's something that I've frequently gone back to with this team, because while we all love the narrative this year, we love what they've been able to do, we are frequently forced to deal with reality, and that reality is that they are not truly contending as of yet. We go back to what was at that point the biggest game of the year, March 17th. Against the Oilers. Final score, 5-3, a loss. Okay, we go a week after that. Then the biggest game of the year against Nashville, 6-3, a loss. And then we go most recently to Nashville this last Saturday, 6-3, a loss. And then we go right to last night, 5-2, a loss to Edmonton. And that sets up the next biggest game against Anaheim. Now, they beat Anaheim last Wednesday, the 1st, in a 4-3 thriller. But now they have another game. Pretty much San Jose needs to win out. That is their best opportunity. They need to beat Anaheim. They need to beat Vancouver, of which I think they can do both. But then they are going to be going up against, in their final three games, it starts off with Monday the 13th at Nashville. They've lost 15 straight to Nashville. That'd be a great time for them to change that trend, but it certainly seems like a task. Then they have a matchup once again with Chicago, a team they just squeaked by with a 3-2 win on Monday. And then they finish up the year taking on Winnipeg on Thursday the 16th, a Winnipeg team that is pretty darn talented. And I think that everyone should not forget about because they're only 1 point back of San Jose. They've won two in a row. They are still very much in the hunt. So, yeah, San Jose, they will have to win out, in my opinion, if they are going to make the playoffs. I know there are scenarios in which they don't win out and make the playoffs, but I think if we are being our most realistic selves, we acknowledge that they are going to have to probably win out and get some breaks to go their way. Anything can happen. San Jose has had a great season, but like I keep on coming back to, they are not quote-unquote there yet. This game against Edmonton. Edmonton scored on the first three power play opportunities. They took advantage of San Jose's mistake. That does not happen by accident. That's Edmonton being absolutely lethal, even without Draisaitl, even without Hyman. This is a team that knows how to get it done in every single instance. They know what to do. They know how to take advantage of the situation. They force the issue. Connor McDavid leading the charge, putting pucks in play, making things happen. He was in on every single goal tonight. It cannot be denied the type of an impact he had on the game. And Macklin Celebrini even said after the game that, yeah, you know, he loved watching him when he was a fan, but now going against him, it's entirely frustrating. Now, on the flip side of that, Connor McDavid said to the TNT guys in the post game that, you know, he much preferred having Macklin Celebrini on his wing as opposed to playing against him. But Connor McDavid, the amount of experience that he has, where he is currently in the peak prime of his career. He's an unstoppable force of nature. It is just, it's too much to ask San Jose to deal with him at this point. You saw the defensive breakdowns, whether it was Dickinson, whether it was Letty, whether it was Orloff, whether it was Ferraro, whether it was Klingberg, whether it was whoever it was tonight. You saw the defense being overmatched at every single turn. And I don't say that, you know, to be inflammatory or anything. I just think that's the reality of what we saw. The San Jose Sharks were overmatched because Edmonton is a battle-tested, playoff-ready team. They're getting ready to make yet another deep run of this, I have no doubt. And while I am not a betting man, if you said, Ted, who's the one team you expect to end up in the Stanley Cup Final? I'd say Edmonton. I would not say it of Buffalo. I would not say it of Utah. I would not say it of Colorado. I would not say it of Boston. I would not say it of Carolina. I would not say it of, you know, you go down the list of all these teams. The one team that if you asked me to bet money on making it to the Stanley Cup Final, Edmonton, because they have Connor McDavid and he is that good and he is that problematic and he is that much of a force of nature. Again, I keep on going back to that phrase. It's just watching it happen. It was like, yeah, of course, this is what is happening in this game. Connor McDavid has ascended to a level of which he at times is unstoppable. And when he is rolling the way that he was rolling in last night's game, I don't honestly know how you stop that. Now, I understand that you can have your defensive structure be improved. You can be more careful with the puck. You cannot turn it over. You cannot make your own power play look like a scoring opportunity for the opposition. There are a lot of things you can do to give yourself your best opportunity to win a game. But when Connor McDavid is playing like that, I don't know what to do. I don't know how you scheme for that. I don't know how you plan for that. I don't know how you become a tactician for that. He is a singular talent. And I would say the same thing of Macklin Celebrini. Even if I'm being honest, Macklin Celebrini is not there yet, nor should he be. He's 19 years old. If we go back to year two of Connor McDavid's season, he was very much more like Macklin Celebrini as opposed to the Connor McDavid we know him as now. But, you know, we look at Macklin Celebrini and we've seen it so many times where he's taken over these games, where he's been absolutely flawless, where he's been incredible, where he's been on so many of the goals, where he's had these transcendent performances. We know exactly what this looks like. It's just that last night, Connor McDavid did it to us. And I don't, again, know that there is any answer for that. I don't know how you deal with that. I don't know what you do to slow that down. And the Sharks, until they are at a higher level, they will not be able to take care of that. You know, Florida this year, they are not there to stop Connor McDavid. I don't know who will stop Connor McDavid. I don't know if another team has the ability to stop Connor McDavid. But I know most importantly that the Sharks do not have the ability to stop Connor McDavid. They don't have the ability to stop Edmonton in a season-wide series as we look at the results from this past year. And also, if they were to play in a seven-game series, I would take Edmonton all the way. And it's funny because when Macklin Celebrini scores that goal early off the power play in this game, you're thinking to yourself, wow, maybe San Jose can really show up and make something happen. And then it's Connor McDavid on the power play, and it was Michael Mesa who went to the box, scores his 45th of the year, and then at the end of the period, when you're in a 1-1 game and you're trying to hold on, it was Podkolzin off the power play once again. And then you get early in the second period, Roslovic, he scores again off the power play. It's 3-1. And you're thinking to yourself, God, what just happened? How did the San Jose Sharks go from a 1-0 lead to a 3-1 deficit? It just felt like it happened bang, bang, bang. And yeah, it did, because they gave up three straight goals. But then the San Jose Sharks, less than a minute and 10 seconds after that third goal was conceded, it's Kiefer Sherwood who comes back and makes it a 3-2 game. But then all of a sudden you have Connor McDavid answering, just about a minute and 10 seconds after that. And then you have another one from Connor McDavid at the end of the second period, or the later stages of the second period, to make it 5-2. And it was like, you got close. You got within shouting distance. You made it 3-2. You took back some of that momentum. And then suddenly, boom, boom, Connor McDavid, 4-2, 5-2. And from there on out, San Jose would not be able to find any magical comeback in the third period. They would not be able to find the spark. They would not be able to find some great moment of magic, because Edmonton just knew how to control the game and knew how to ride it out. And that's frustrating, but again, it's indicative of where San Jose is. But again, the penalties they took. Michael Mesa, early in this one, takes the holding penalty drawn by former Shark Jake Walman. Vinny Desharnais' puck over the glass, that delay of game, ugh, that didn't feel good. Macklin Celebrini with a tripping early in the seconds, that didn't feel good. I mean, when you give up three straight goals off the power play, when you give up bad penalties, you're going to pay for it. Whether it's reaching in and you get that holding call, whether it's a tripping call, whether it's a delay of game, whatever it is, you make those mistakes, Edmonton's the type of team that's going to make you pay for it, or at least most of the time. Yes, I can point back to the games where San Jose has beaten Edmonton, and they did beat them earlier this year, but that's not the be-all, end-all. That just shows you that San Jose is capable of once in a while beating Edmonton. But in last night's game, when they needed to come out with more fire, when they needed to come out with more overall just ability, they didn't have it, because they don't know how to draw upon it consistently. Whereas on the flip side, you watch Edmonton, they do know how to draw upon it consistently. They know what it means to go into these big games and come up with the big plays and come up with the big moments. And that's something San Jose has been able to do, but I keep on saying that they don't know how to do it by design. They know how to ride the wave when it happens. They don't know how to do it just when they need to do it. And that's what I think we learned most consistently in the last month of hockey. Whether it's been games against Edmonton, whether it's been games against Nashville, the Sharks don't know how to dial it up at will. When the Sharks are rolling, they are phenomenal. When the Sharks have that momentum on their side, look out. Good luck trying to slow them down, but they don't know how to flip that switch and just turn it on. Edmonton knows how to do it. Colorado knows how to do it. From what I have seen this year, Buffalo knows how to do it. Carolina knows how to do it. Tampa Bay knows how to do it. Those are dangerous teams, but also, Buffalo is a long time coming. Tampa Bay is a team that has multiple pelts on the wall in terms of Stanley Cup championships, and they are not constituted exactly the same as when they won those back-to-back titles, but still a very, very good team. Carolina, they've been doing this for quite a while now and being able to make deep runs. When I think about Colorado, again, that's a Stanley Cup winning team. That's a team that knows how to do it. And yeah, you probably hear in my voice that I am a little bit frustrated, because it was just one of those nights where you just saw everything so clearly. You saw where Edmonton is. You saw where San Jose wants to be, but where they currently are. You saw so much of the reality of where this team has been this year, the San Jose Sharks, what they've grown into, but still where they have to get to. And I think that's why this night was such a sobering reality of where the team is, because as much as the ride has been fun, you see exactly where they are. And again, San Jose could still make the playoffs, but you see them against a team that is playing their best hockey without some of their best players in the most vital time of the regular season, as they are surging. That is what Edmonton has been doing as of late. They are 6-3-1 in their last 10 games. They are now at 90 points. They're giving themselves a little bit of space above Vegas, and they are going right to the end of the season. You got to give them a lot of credit. They're going to win their first Pacific Division title potentially in a long, long time. and they are giving themselves their best chance to make a deep run. And San Jose is not in that position. Furthermore, Anaheim, who's lost four straight games, they are currently not in that position. And you look at the other guys looking on the outside in, whether it's Utah, whether it's Nashville, whether it's LA, whether it's San Jose, whether it's Winnipeg, whether it's St. Louis. Again, we talk about all these teams that have yet to be eliminated. For the most part, they have not been playing amazing hockey, or it's quote unquote too little, too late. And, you know, for San Jose, if they do not make the playoffs, we're all going to look back at either one of those six-game losing streaks as the reason why. But that's what teams like Edmonton are showing right now, that they have the ability to just turn it on at this quote-unquote crunch time and give themselves the burst they need. Compare and contrast, San Jose not there. All right, so you've heard me go through all that right now. Let me get you some Dan Rusinowski highlights. Macklin Celebrini, my goodness. Now the third best season ever by a teenager in NHL history. He keeps on getting it done. He put San Jose on the board first in last night's game.
Orloff back to Celebrini, walking into the circle again. Rink wide, off the right boards. There's Will Smith. He throws it back to Orloff, middle of the ice. Sends it back down, and Celebrini shoots and scores! Macklin Celebrini from Orloff and Will Smith. And the Sharks score in the power play at 4:27 of the first period for Celebrini of the Sharks. That is goal number 42 on the year and point number 108 in a remarkable campaign.
Man, at that point, the building was rocking. Everyone was just marveling at Macklin Celebrini and his ability to continue to come up with big moments, whether it's late in games, whether it's early in games. Macklin Celebrini, again, the future for him is limitless. And this was another moment where he was doing everything he could to get his team on the board and get them rolling. But who else but Connor McDavid would have a relatively quick answer to level this game at one and get his own side running.
And now it'll be Bouchard and McDavid that play catch with it on the point. McDavid on the left side now. Stick handles into the corner. Throws it toward the front of the net. Deflected. Score! Traffic in front for the Oilers. Both Putt Colson and Roslovic were there, but Connor McDavid made the play. And it doesn't matter whether he's on the left side of the ice or the right, he is dynamic. And the puck deflected in at 6:18 of the period. And Edmonton scores on the power play to tie it 1-1.
And Edmonton would not look back as they just built from there and kept on taking it to San Jose in this game. Again, three straight power play goals. That is very, very impressive. Putt Colson would make it 2-1, and then Roslovic would make it 3-1 early in the second period.
Just solid penalty killing there, but a lead pass, a breakaway for Roslovic, his second one of the game. He scores! He went to the backhand as the Sharks get caught on that change during the penalty kill. A power play goal for Edmonton. Jack Roslovic makes it 3-1, Oilers.
Now, I do give San Jose some credit here. Down 3-1, they did have some pushback. Kiefer Sherwood comes up with a big goal for San Jose.
The pass goes to the left wing boards, and Wenberg throws it around. Held in by Klingberg. Former Oiler goes to Eklund, pokes to Wenberg, right wing side. He's skating with some speed, fakes the drop, now throws to the net, score! William Eklund and Kiefer Sherwood were in front of the net, providing a little bit of traffic, and Alex Wenberg, sensing that, threw a wrister toward the goal that snuck through, and that makes it a 3-2 game, and that's the first even strength goal of the contest.
That would be as close as San Jose got, however, and now it was time for the Connor McDavid show, as just about a minute and 16 seconds later, he comes up with his 46th of the year to make it 4-2 in favor of Edmonton.
Neutral zone play. Here's McDavid with speed. Down the right. Makes the move on Letty. Cuts it in front. Shoots. Score! A spectacular goal. Individual effort by Connor McDavid to make it 4-2 Edmonton. That is his 46th goal of the season, his second goal of the night, and his fourth point of the game. And we haven't even played half the contest yet.
Well, he wouldn't need very much more time as we got to the later stages of the second period. He would add his third of the night and 47th of the year to make it a 5-2 game.
Looks like Chernyshov got knocked off the puck. Could be a chance. Roslovic, a drop for McDavid, moving in front. It's deflected off the D, and it's in. That went off of Orloff right in front of the net, and it sneaks through the wickets. And guess who's going to get credit for it? That's right, number 97, Connor McDavid, his fifth point of the night. It'll be 5-2 Edmonton.
So that will be good for your final. The San Jose Sharks falling to Edmonton. by the score of 5-2, putting the pressure on these remaining five games from here to the 16th when they play Winnipeg. Let's get into some post-game reaction, starting with Macklin Celebrini.
Macklin, obviously, you guys get off to a good start. The power play converts, and then they get the power play chances. What shifted? Did you feel like the power play got their momentum back? What maybe shifted the momentum back their way?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, they capitalized on every power play chance they got, and I mean, that's big. Whenever you get a chance to take it on the man advantage, it's big, even though a couple of them are maybe unlucky bounces. We still can't really give them those power plays.
You obviously played with McDavid. You know him well and what he does. What about tonight allowed him to get to what Ned just talked about with the getting to the good areas of the ice a little easier than maybe you guys probably would have wanted?
Yeah, he's the best player in the league, and he's also the fastest. So if you don't really slow him down or get in his way, he's just going to skate by you. It's simple as that. You've seen it his whole career. I mean, I watched it. I loved watching it when I was a fan, but it's super frustrating when you play against it.
I think about what a wildly revealing quote that is from Macklin Celebrini, who is the star of the NHL this year. He's the darling of the league. He's an MVP candidate. He is an incredible player in his own right. But it just shows you that Connor McDavid right now is simply on another level that I don't think anyone can really reach right now. Maybe Macklin will be able to do one day. I couldn't really tell you, but the way that Connor McDavid was playing last night, you just can't do anything about that.
Had a lot of young guys on this team going through this for the first time in their career as a playoff chase. What does everybody sort of need to learn from this game going forward here?
I mean, that's a team that just went back-to-back to the Stanley Cup final, and that's no excuse. They're missing a couple of their top guys, and, I mean, we have to be better. We didn't shoot the puck enough. I took a bad penalty there, and they scored on it. And I think we need to be better. We need to kind of come out a little hotter. We need to shoot pucks. We passed up a lot of really good chances, and we got to play hard on their top guys. Like, we can't let them kind of just dance around.
Is that what your power play could have done better too? Just shoot more of the Oilers, put constant pressure on your goalie.
Yeah. I mean, we had a couple good looks on that first one, and then, even on the second one, we created a little bit, but, we do need to shoot a couple more pucks.
Is it kind of nice that, you guys are still in this race, and you have a game tomorrow against another divisional opponent where you can kind of respond and get this bad taste out of your mouth quickly?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the NHL. You play every other night, and especially with the schedule, you have to move on quick. And, I mean, we have another opportunity tomorrow against a team that, like you said, is in our division and is going to be hungry. So we got to regroup and be ready.
It's a huge opportunity for San Jose to thrust themselves right back into the playoff picture. And I think it's great that they don't have any time to rest. They've just got to forget about this bad loss to Edmonton and get right back at it against this Anaheim team, which the Sharks can beat. And they did just beat on Wednesday the 1st. So no time like the present, and it's another opportunity for this team to play a much better brand of hockey.
What do you guys take away from tonight to improve for playing tomorrow, and what do you guys want to, is there any positives you can take from tonight to bring to tomorrow as a momentum thing?
Yeah, I think, obviously stay out of the box. They got some shooters on their team that can punish us, so stay out of the box, play smarter, and we just need to be kind of sustain that pressure a little bit more. I thought we kind of let them off the hook, just kind of backing out of the zone and letting them they're a good team. When they get in the offensive zone, they rim it and they keep possession, which is hard to stop and go the other way. So, we need to just do a better job of kind of keeping it in there.
You said you mentioned about needing to shoot the puck more. It's not something that needs to be maybe said, like tomorrow morning in the skate or anything like that?
I mean, we said it. We were all talking about it. We had three shots in the first period, so we're all talking about it. It's just that mindset of when we get those opportunities, just putting it on net.
Yes, I would expect them to come out with a lot more of an aggressive outlook in this game against Anaheim. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski, get his thoughts after the loss.
Coach, would you say you guys maybe a little guilty of watching the skate around? You guys like that tonight?
Yeah, we weren't very good.
What, you know, you guys get off to the good start with the power play and the penalties. You know, did you kind of need a kill to get momentum back there? And just what went wrong on the power, on the PK again tonight?
Yeah, actually, you know, I didn't mind our penalty kill. If they're going to give up that type of shot and those types of goals against that type of power play, it's unfortunate those go in.
Penalty kill aside, I mean, Matt Macklin was just talking about, he's talked about getting more shots on net and testing out their goalie a little bit more just to have three shots in, yeah, in the first period. It's disappointing, I'm sure.
Yeah, just this time of year, you got to, you know, you got to play a simple direct hockey in the offensive zone especially, and we can't seem to, you know, grasp that consistently enough right now.
How do you evaluate sort of the young guys, maybe like Sam and Lisa, in a game like tonight? It's tough, yeah. Everything. I mean, it's going out so fast in them right now, but how do you get it?
Yeah, you know, it's the game picks up, and that type of team can jump on you, and, you know, and maybe second guess how you want to play certain situations, and next thing you know, you're on your heels. So another learning moment for some of our guys.
Speaking of a simple and a direct, even the Oilers' power play with their, you know, incredible skill, they seem to play pretty simple and direct, yeah, and take bad angle shots. And is that something that you guys definitely can learn from?
For sure. You know, you see it around the league. It's not just Edmonton. It's not just the power play. Goals are scored right now. It's, you know, shooting the puck, creating chaos, getting it inside. It's going off someone's skate. It's going off someone's hand. I mean, that's the way goals are getting scored right now.
Connor McDavid, obviously, you know, great performance for him tonight. Macklin's the best player in the league. What about Connor just makes him, you know, cut above even elite players?
Well, I think everyone knows he's elite, so he strikes the fear in him, to be honest with you. So that's probably some of that. I think the speed alone, when he picks up pace, it's like he's almost like a human highlight. You know, it's like the game is in slow motion for him. He feeds off his teammates well. His teammates feed off him well, and what they expect, what he's going to expect. There's a real comfortability throughout that lineup, no matter who it is. You know, and we saw it, you know, firsthand tonight.
What's that like defensively, where you could be in good position and then he just puts the jets on, and then all of a sudden your structure's out of whack? For you guys as a coaching staff watching that, it's got to be frustrating knowing that maybe they were in a good spot for however long to start the playoff.
Yeah, you know, you go back and you try to stay true to your habits, you know, what your habit is to play a one-on-one, what your habit is to defend the rush, and when he's coming at you, you know, how do you play through him in the offensive zone, you know, in all three zones. So there's a lot that you try to preach and get on, and obviously there's times we can get more numbers than just one guy, and we were just a little loose.
With tomorrow being another big game, you are still in it, how important is it to take some of the positives and apply them tomorrow, and what are those positives?
I don't know if there was many positives. We got to move on. We got to look at it. We'll learn from it. We'll see a team that's another desperate team in Anaheim tomorrow. They've lost a few in a row, and we got to certainly have more desperation in our game.
And I 100% expect that desperation to show up in the game against Anaheim. Let's hear from Alex Nedeljkovic before we run out of time.
I mean, they only had two, and, you know, it's first one, you know, I fan on a clearing attempt, and you know, you give them an extra opportunity, they're going to make you pay. On the second one, you know, I'm having trouble remembering right now, but, you know, we talked about it before the game. We just, you know, they're going to get their chances. They've got the best player in the league on that side, and he's going to get his looks. You just got to find a way to kind of contain him as best as you can and not give him too many chances. And, I mean, you know, they get a nice bounce, I guess, on the first one, and it sits on the side of the post there. You know, I lose track of it. And even the second one, too. But I think it's just about the opportunities that we give them and the details and how we wanted to deny them entry into the zone. We were a little loose on, and it allowed them to set up and do their thing. It's a pretty potent power play, even without two of their best players.
The PK has kind of struggled throughout the homestand here. Are you seeing any one thing that's sort of leading to this? I know faceoffs are obviously a big deal, but any one thing you're seeing?
I think we just need to bear down a little bit more, and it's four guys and myself outworking their five guys. It's what it comes down to. It doesn't matter what kind of systems you want to run, what video we look at, how we want to defend it. If we're not willing to outwork them for two full minutes, two and change, so we get that fifth guy back in the picture, you're not going to have consistent success. So I don't think, like, you know, we haven't changed a lot over the course of the year, and we've gone on in spurts. You know, we've been really good at times, and then there's stretches like this that we're having right now, and I think it just goes back to wanting to win, you know, your PK more than they want to win and score on the power play, is what it comes down to right now.
Honest insights from Ned as always. We're out of time. Pregame 6:30, go time 7 o'clock tonight as the San Jose Sharks are in Anaheim, the second night of a home and away back-to-back. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.